Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There we go.
That's the way we like it.
We like it. Oh, no. And that's the way we like it. No.
Now.
Like it. We like it. We like it. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered. We are going up on the road.
Welcome to Rasmus Bottom Training at King's Cross City. Our level 5 physical service to Peterborough, arriving into Peterborough at 11:55.
Programs, £3.
We're raising money for the Village Playgroup, which is a local charity in Warrington.
Half time draw, 50p.
Hello and welcome to episode 149 of We Are Going Up. As we record, it is Saturday, February the 28th, 2015. I'm Mark Crossy, David Cameron Walker is alongside me as ever. And as is customary on these live editions, DC, I'm going to leave it to you to describe where we are.
We are at the ABAX. ABAX?
Tomato, tomato.
The ABAX Stadium, aka London Road, the home of Peterborough United.
So you might remember we did a draw on the show a few weeks ago, totally random draw. You will have heard it about four or five episodes back, to go to a random Football League fixture. You've booked the day off work for this. We could have gone to Carlisle, we could have gone to Shrewsbury, we could have gone to practically anywhere.
Yep.
And we ended up at pretty much the plum tie of the weekend because of the news, DC, that sort of envelops these two clubs at the minute.
Absolutely. Darren Ferguson's time at second spell at Peterborough United came to an end last week when he was sacked along with his coaching staff. So they're managerless now. And of course, Bradford City. Next weekend's the big one for them. Home tie in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup against Reading. They could be back at Wembley again, and they're going well in the league. So a fascinating fixture today.
Indeed. So let's start with Peterborough then. Less than a year after winning the Johnson's Paint Trophy at Wembley, and despite having three promotions at the club already behind him, this week finally saw the end for Darren Ferguson. He was sacked after last Saturday's 3-0 defeat at MK Dons, which leaves the Posh down in a lowly 15th place in Sky Bet League One. The chairman, Darren McAntony, called Ferguson one of the finest managers in our club's history, but said that change was needed. Coming up, you're going to hear the views of Aidy Moles from the Peterborough Independent Supporters Association on Ferguson's sacking.
I got a horrible feeling, and he would probably deny it, but I think he lost his way after Palace. I mean, we go down with like 2 minutes of the season left because we've gone for it. You know, we're drawing, a draw's fine, and we've gone for the win, and I think it demoralised the football club.
Also on the way, you're going to hear the views of Jamie Jones, host of the Standing on the Glebe podcast.
You know, I don't think anyone can blame Peter United or Dara for making the change. He's given Fergie every possible chance to put it right, and now is the time to try something different. Whether that'll work or not, hey, we don't know, but it is time to try that, definitely.
Also on the way, we're going to hear from John Verrill, who's written for The Guardian, Shoot and World Soccer, and is a huge Peterborough fan.
To be honest, for a squad that's cost us £6 million, it's been a disaster this year. To be 15th in League One, to be outplayed by teams that are made up of free agents, and it's been shocking. It really has been abysmal. The style of football's not been there, no entertainment value, and it just felt the whole place needed a freshen up.
And also we'll hear who Peterborough fans want as their next manager.
The current Brentford manager, Warburton, is it? Yeah, he's done a really good job by them.
Probably Keith Hill from Rochdale or Alexander from Fleetwood would be good managers.
Harry Redknapp's free, I think, isn't he? So.
Are you OK to arrange for the helicopter to come down from Sandbanks?
Happy days, yeah.
As for Bradford City, well, it's all about next Saturday lunchtime for them, really. A third Wembley appearance in just 3 years beckons. That's if they can defeat Reading in that FA Cup quarter-final at Valley Parade. Remember, they've already knocked out Chelsea and Sunderland this season. And DC, sometimes people say that the Cup can be a distraction for a club to what's going on in the league, but they just seem to thrive on it, Bradford, don't they? They're in sixth spot in the league at the minute.
It's remarkable how they keep doing it. I mean, and this Cup run, I think, is arguably better. Even though they got, you know, they did get to Wembley in the last one, they're not there yet, but I think already this one is better than perhaps in the last one, beating Chelsea, you know, who have been dominant in the Premier League this season, beating Sunderland. And now they have Reading. It won't be an easy game, you know, because Reading don't have anything else to play for, really. The FA Cup, you know, for them, it's all it's about. The rest of the season is all about the FA Cup for them, I suppose. So it's a big match for Reading as well. But you wouldn't bet against Bradford, would you? You just wouldn't bet against it. Those players are just full of confidence, and they must go into that match thinking, oh, we can do this. We can get to Wembley again.
On the way, then, we're going to hear from Simon Parker, Bradford City reporter from The Telegraph and Argus, on another incredible season to be covering the Bantams.
These cup runs come along every now and again, don't they? Yeah, it's a bit surreal at the moment. You know, it's just as it was 2 years ago. It just seemed to be keep going and going and going, and it's, you know, I think most people sort of pinch themselves and think that was a once in a lifetime, and it's happening again.
You'll also hear from some of the travelling Bradford fans here outside London Road, who, as expected, are full of praise for their club and in particular their manager.
It's been unbelievable. I mean, after Capital One Cup final and semi-finals, we're just doing it all again.
2 seasons ago was an absolute dream. After 10 years of hell watching Bradford City, but this year's been fabulous.
It's the manager, really, I think. People want to play for Phil Parkinson.
So that's all on the way. Are you ready to go inside? We've got your little media pass. You've got your drinks voucher.
I'm ready, yeah. I've never been to London Road before, and I'm looking forward to it.
And we've just had a photo. We'll quickly get this in before we start with
none other than, I didn't know what his name was approaching it, but then the club mascot, a customary shot with a club mascot, turned around after we'd had our photo, and it turns out his name's Peter Burrow. Yes, he's a rabbit, a giant rabbit with a carrot.
Pictures online right now. Right, let's go inside. Here we go.
We are going up live.
So we've moved inside the ABAC Stadium and we're in the press box. Quite a good view, actually. There is a pole to the left which is nearly blocking one of the goals, but we're all right. It's not a massively full press box. The country's media not exactly enticed to come down for this League One game, even if there is a bit of a story surrounding it. But DC isn't worried about that. He's more interested in the Peterborough keep ball session, which is going on in front of us. You've been chuckling away to yourself. What's the reason?
Well, I just noticed there's a player just on the touchline here near to where we are, in a green bib, and he's got tracksuit bottoms on, so I can't see his numbers. I don't know who he is, basically, forgive my ignorance, but he's absolutely tiny. Were it not for the fact that he's got a full beard, I'd think he was a member of the under-14s. He's absolutely miniature.
He does look like a bit of a competition winner.
But he looks good, though. They're playing a bit of keep ball at the moment, and he seems to be doing quite a good job of it.
First impressions of the ABAC Stadium?
It's a bit of a mixture of the old and new, isn't it?
Well, that's the new stand away to our left, which has just opened this season.
Yeah.
Where the old kind of away fans used to be in the terrace behind the goal. That's been knocked down.
And the stand that we're in, just in front of the press box, you've got racks and racks and racks of wooden seats with iron sort of frames. Real hark back to the old days. And then just to our right, there is still a terrace with the old bars to lean on.
We're at the opposite side from the TV cameras, if that makes sense to you as you watch the Football League show. We should start by talking about Peterborough United, DC, the 38th managerial sacking in the Football League this season. Darren Ferguson, there's been one since then, actually, with Lee Johnson leaving Oldham, but we'll talk a bit about that later. The Posh have won just one of their last 5 games in the league. They've lost 7 games at home already this season. They were hammered at MK Dons. They're down in 15th. It has just been a bit of a nightmare this season. Darren McAntony has made a brave decision. Just looking at it from the outside, does it feel the right time perhaps for a restart, a refresh?
I think so. I think it is the right time. It has been interesting to see some of the opinion like coming out from the local press and some of the fans on Twitter, and even the chairman, the coaches and players themselves. There's been a lot of the players have got a lot of flack, and some of them have been apologising to Ferguson, saying we let you down. But ultimately, I mean, as ever, the buck does stop with the manager, and it seems to me like there's been a bit of a gradual decline for quite some time now. This is not the Peterborough United of a few seasons ago, when old Jim Knight was telling us to put your mortgage on there being over 3.5 goals every match. The excitement...
Who's he?
Exactly. The excitement seems to have gone a little.
Before the game today, we took a trip down to Ebenezer's, which is the home of PISA 2000, the Peterborough United Independent Supporters Association, and we were joined by the chairman, AD Moles, and I started by asking AD if it was time for Darren Ferguson to go.
Yeah, I think it was really, and I say that with a heavy heart because he's been very good for us as a football club, and more importantly for me, for Pisa, he's been absolutely brilliant, come to loads of our events, been very supportive, and yeah, sad times, but sometimes it would be better for him, his family, and importantly the football club. I got a horrible feeling, and he would probably deny it, but I think he lost his way after Palace. I mean, we go down with like 2 minutes of the season left because we've gone for it, you know, we're drawing, a draw's fine, and we've gone for the win, and I think it demoralised the football club as a whole, and I certainly haven't recovered. I'm still emotionally bereft by it, and a lot of fans are, and I think he is, and I think we sold one player too many. Asa Belonga was on fire, you know, we sold Dwight Gale and we got Britt in, and that was incredible bit of luck, and he hit the ground running and was amazing, and he made all the difference, and then when we sold him, we've just not recovered from that at all. You can't replace a 30 goal a season player every single time, and we did it for 4 years on the trot. In the end, the bag is empty, isn't it?
As many clubs the size of Peterborough are, they're kind of a victim of your own success, really, aren't you? You've had, you know, had that wonderful spell under Ferguson with McAntony as well, buying those players, getting up to the Championship, you know, relegated twice from the Championship, and it feels that, like, you're just not there. You take the leap to becoming a sustainable, steady Championship club is just a little bit beyond you financially. You know, the crowds and the infrastructure of the club is just not quite there. You can get up there for a season or two, but it takes a big effort to stay there, and it's kind of because of the success Ferguson's had, he's had to go. But it's going to be hard, really, for any manager to come in and really take it on further than what Ferguson did.
Yeah, I'm of the generation that wouldn't even dream of Division One football, so to get in the Championship was just like getting in the Premier, and to be honest, like a lot of football fans outside the Premiership, you worry about getting into the Premiership, because if you did, could you afford to go? You know, would you be able to substantiate the whole thing? But the difference between the Premier and the Championship is your football club is sorted for life, or should be, if you get in the Prem. The Championship is a paltry 4 million. It's neither here nor there. You spend that again on your players' salaries, because they're all going to come knocking on your door. We have got, without doubt, in my opinion, the best chairman in the Football League. Yes, he likes to interfere. When you've put the money he's put in, I think you're perfectly entitled to. Yes, it's pretty well known that he's advised various managers of different players, but I don't think he insists that they sign them. I think he just gives them a heads up. A manager that comes in is going to have to work with that pressure, if that's the word. Not everybody's going to like it. Gary Johnson hated it. He had a horrendous relationship with Darragh, and he went and he got Fergie back in. He gets what he wants. He's a young man. He's a very, very wealthy man, despite things not being as good as he would like them to be. He would love to see the club as a permanent setup in the Championship. So would I. There is a generation of posh fans, a hell of a lot younger than me, who only remember success, and they were the most vociferous ones about Fergie leaving in many ways, because they don't understand that it's a cyclical thing, football. A new manager coming in to get us in the Championship would have so much pressure on him to keep us up. He's got to accept that the gates are not going to improve massively, because it's just not that sort of town for varying reasons, and the chairman will back him with every penny that he's got. But as I say, there's clubs come down from the Premiership, and there's ex-Premiership teams that are 3 years out still getting massive parachute payments, so it's not a fair system, as you know. But anybody who comes in is going to have to work under whatever Darragh's rules are, and they will be groom a player, get in mega, sell him for lots of money.
So that was AD Moles, chairman of PISA 2000, the Peterborough Independent Supporters Association. And it's funny doing this podcast, there do seem to be Football League chairmen that we mention a lot more than others, if you know what I mean. And Darren McAntony is one of those who is probably one of the most well-known, really, Football League chairmen. But one thing you can certainly not put against him is that he doesn't care, because he lays it all on the block, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's honest, I think, and that's the thing, really, I do think we need to applaud, because so many times we speak to fans, and then if there are times of confusion or times of trouble at football clubs, the worst thing is when fans don't know really what's going on, and that, I mean, you know, that leads to speculation, that leads to rumours. And I think with McAntony, he's always honest, he puts it out there, and he, you know, often you'll hear news straight from the horse's mouth. So there's, you know, whether it be good, whether it be bad, had, whether you disagree with it or not, as a fan, at least you know exactly what's going on. And he's, you know, he's a man that has put a hell of a lot of money into Peterborough United and obviously cares a great deal about the club. And, you know, he's ultimately, bar a few hiccups along the way, they've had probably the best time in their history under him, haven't they, really? They've had a great last sort of 5, 6, 7 years under him. And, you know, I think, you know, he's been brilliant for the football club, all things said.
Well, we also caught up with one of our regular listeners and a big Peterborough fan who was down in Ebenezer's as well, who had some opinions on what's been a difficult week to support this football club. It's Paul Myland.
It had been coming for a little while, and really it could have happened at any time in the last 3 months. But yes, it came as a shock nonetheless, and a little bit sorry that he's gone, because, as I said, you know, we've had so many good times within, you know, 3 promotions, the Johnson's Paint Trophy. We've seen countless good players come into the club and, you know, get sold as well, you know, so it's sad to see him go, but the club needed to move on, and I think so did he.
What has been the difference in this second spell at the club to when he was at the club first time and had so much success? I know you won the JPT last year, but it hasn't gone as well in the last couple of years.
Well, the obvious thing is less funding. You know, without wanting to call Darren McAnton's finances into question, he's not been able to put as much money into the club this time. You know, when he first came along, you know, there was various vehicles he had for getting money into the club, and he was buying the best players around, you know, and the best players we could hope for in the fourth division, as it was then. And this time around, we've been selling players a lot as well. There's a player sold every transfer window for about 4 years, yeah, up until the recent one, and inevitably that does have an impact on the team. You'll see the crowd today, you know, we'll probably get maybe 6,000 this afternoon. You have to bear in mind there's 4,000 season ticket holders, so there isn't a great deal of cash flow going into the club, so probably more than we'd hoped for. We are maybe leading a little bit of a week-to-week existence at times, you know.
As you've mentioned there, Peterborough have got a great reputation over the last however many 5, 6 years or whatever of getting players from the lower leagues and then having success, bringing them through the leagues and then selling them on, and then a lot of those players have gone on to achieve, you know, good things and play at higher levels, even though some have eventually come back. But, and I suppose having a model like that, it's a sensible one to have for a club like Peterborough, but it by its nature, it can be hit and miss. Not every player you buy from the lower leagues is going to be as good as George Boyd, as Mikhail Smith, as McLean, you know, and all, as Asamoah Longo, these players that you sold for big money. So, you know, the Luke James, you know, signing from Hartlepool, like, I don't think he's done too well so far from what I've seen. And there are going to be failures as well as successes with that sort of model. And it's kind of, there's a natural kind of, you know, variance in that system.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You could say it's almost a self-defeating system in that we have become very reliant on selling the players. But that's not to say we haven't got some good potential in this squad right now. I mean, Marcus Madison, he was outstanding when he first signed for us, then he got a bad injury, and he's not really come back from it since. I mean, whether we tried to get him back into the team too early, I'm not sure. But you mentioned Luke James. I mean, recently he has been playing very well. It's just that the goals are not coming. But if he had a partner alongside him who could score the goals, we'd really see the best of him, because there's many, many chances that he sets up, but we just haven't got somebody at the moment who can convert them.
OK, and I guess the final question is, you need a new manager. You're obviously sat here with other Peterborough fans. I'm sure you've been chatting about it. What's the feeling?
A lot of people are concerned it could be Steve Evans. He's not the most popular man around Peterborough. We know too much about him, with him being a local person. I mean, and all the things that happened at Boston as well, and how close he took them to the brink with what he did. But nevertheless, you know, you can't argue with his record since then. You know, he got Crawley into the league and promoted again, 2 promotions at Rotherham. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with them this afternoon, because they've got a massive game against Millwall. But there's a little bit of me thinking that if they lose, he could resign, and if he resigns, he could be here in no time.
Hi, I'm Jamie Jones. I'm the host of the unofficial Posh Fans podcast, Standing on the Glebe. We've been going for about just shy of 100 episodes, 4 years. So we've seen Fergie in his first time, then when we had to put up with Gary Johnson and Mark Cooper, people like that, Fergie back again, and now obviously he's gone again. I genuinely think the Posh Fans have done brilliantly not to turn on the team. I think anywhere else, he would probably have been hounded out long, long ago. But we respect what he'd done in the main. The atmosphere's just been pretty dire. The crowds are falling away, and it's just no excitement at all. Even the games that we've won, you know, we beat Yeovil about 6 weeks ago at home, 1-0, which is one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. There's just no
spark at all. And sometimes, you know, I don't think anyone can blame Peter United or Darra for making the change. He's given Fergie every possible chance to put it right, and now is the time to try something different. Whether that'll work or not, hey, we don't know, but it is time to try that, definitely.
Last time Darren Ferguson left the club, the replacements, you know, didn't go very well. Obviously, Mark Cooper, Jim Gannon, and Gary Johnson all had quite short spells before McAntony decided to go back to Ferguson. And does that worry you slightly when it comes to McAntony choosing the next person? Because you can't afford to have another, you know, disastrous spell of appointments like that.
I think that spell of appointments, as you said, really hurt Darra. I've interviewed him a couple of times for our podcast, and what he kept reiterating was he would never do that again. And I think it's because of that period that Fergie has stayed so long this time. I think anyone else, he would probably look to have gone around Christmas, but Darra was still so scarred by that he's looked to carry on. I think now he really will take his time. I'm sure he would love to get into the playoffs this year, but I don't think we're good enough personally. I don't think that'll happen, whoever you brought in now. It's a case of getting some more games into the younger players for the rest of the season, and then really thinking about who that appointment's going to be. But I don't think he'll be rushed at all. What he's done is you know, look to bring in an interim team that know the club, that are passionate about the club. Grant McCann's come back from Linfield to be assistant manager, and with Aaron McLean backing up as well. I think he will definitely take his time. This season's not over for us, but I mean, today, you know, it's an extremely hard game against Bradford. I'm not sure we'll see much of a bounce today, unfortunately, and we've still got some tough games left.
And in terms of the next manager, personally, who would you like to see given the job?
Me, personally, I'd like to see Steve Davis from Crewe. I think he's doing a great job at a small club, you know, keeping them in this division. Obviously, they had success in the JPT, and he plays football the right way. Whether we could persuade him to move, I don't know. That kind of person, I do wonder whether Darra looks at Justin Edinburgh and thinks, maybe if I'd shifted Fergie out 6 weeks earlier, you know, we could have done that. If not, I do wonder if it goes well, whether he might give it to Grant McCann in the summer. I think that's the kind of the possible club bet. But yeah, I think there's lots of different people. I really hope it's not Steve Evans. Really, genuinely, I'm not going to be an idiot and say I won't go, because obviously I will. I've been going for 30 odd years, but that is not something I'd like to see happen at this football club. I don't think any football club wants to see Barry Fry and Steve Evans together in one place.
So that was Jamie Jones, who we've had on the show before, host of the Standing on the Glebe podcast, and we've been trying to work out what the Glebe is, and we think it's that stand over there.
Yeah, the big one opposite us, it's got all the directors' boxes in. But I thought it, before this, that it was one of the terrorist stands, you know, standing and all, but maybe not.
Okay, well, we're going to hear now from, speaking of someone who's been on the show before, would you say a long-term Wagyu-er? Is that a thing?
Well, I say a Wagyu stalwart.
That's the one.
Yeah.
John Verrill, who was on one of our first ever shows back in 2011, a big Peterborough United fan, and he's written for the likes of The Guardian and World Soccer, Shoot as well. We met John before kickoff, and I started by asking him about Darren Ferguson's departure, and he had strong views on his sacking.
I'm not disappointed to see him leave. I'm disappointed that it ended this way, because I think everyone around Peterborough fondly remembers Fergie, who's been a great manager for the club, but it was a decision that should have been made a long, long time ago. I think it should have happened in the summer. This season's been wasted. Now it's all gone. The whole club just felt stale under his leadership. We've been going backwards in terms of league positions for three seasons running now. To be honest, for a squad that's cost us £6 million, it's been a disaster this year. To be 15th in League One, to be outplayed by teams that are made up of free agents, and it's been shocking. It really has been abysmal. The style of football's not been there, no entertainment value. And it just felt the whole place needed a freshen up. We had to do it. It had to be made, the decision, as much as I think McAntony didn't want to make it. In terms of putting the finger on exactly where it went wrong, it's really hard to say, because I think we've got a lot of quality in our squad. I think if you look at the individual players, we've got a good team for League One level. We should at least be competing for the playoffs. The tactics have just been baffling at times. Fergie's been playing players out of position. We've had centre midfielders playing at right back. Our right winger's been playing right wing back at times. It's just been a really frustrating season. But it's very, very hard just to say this is exactly where it went wrong, because Fergie's a good manager and we all know that.
So I suppose, you know, where next? You know, you've got Dave Robertson and a few of the coaches in charge now to the end of the season. You know, Grant McCann's come back to help out on the coaching. McLean's helping out on the coaching as well. But are you happy to sort of let the situation persist till the end of the season and just, you know, start again in the summer, or do you think you need a fresh impetus with a new man in charge now?
Well, for me, I know it's only 4 points we are off the playoffs, but I don't think we can go up this season, so I don't think there's any real urgency about the appointment. I think we need to take our time. I think we need to get it right. Personally, myself, I want to see someone come in with fresh ideas, with sort of a bit of innovation that you can see on the pitch. I'd love to see sort of a Warburton or a Rosler, but I know they're ambitious targets, very ambitious targets, because they'll probably get championship jobs, but that's the style of manager I want. I know we're linked with sort of Evans, and I don't think McCann is too wants a tactician too much. I don't think he wants that sort of almost a continental type approach. He said himself he wants a British manager, so I think we're going to get a motivator, which in a sense is what Ferguson was. I mean, for all his strengths, his weakness was his tactical acumen, and I'm a bit worried that we could end up with someone like Steve Evans, who I just don't think is right for Peterborough. We're a club that develops young players. We want to implement them into a system. I think we need a strategist and someone that will have a long term vision for the club, so that's who I would like to see appointed.
You're listening to We Are Going Up, recorded live at the ABAC Stadium, London Road, League One, Peterborough against Bradford. That was John Verrill with his thoughts on who he'd like the new posh manager to be. He was very keen for it not to be Steve Evans, and we decided to do a little straw poll, didn't we, outside, and get some thoughts from the Peterborough fans. We've obviously had a lot of anti-Steve Evans thoughts already, but we thought it'd be a good idea to do a little poll outside.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's easy to look at, say, the bookies' odds and kind of take that as your source of information as to who will be the next manager. But the most important thing really is, who do the fans want? I mean, it looks like Steve Evans is one of the front runners, but as you may be about to hear, that opinion, you know, isn't necessarily welcomed, or that news isn't welcomed by the fans. And there were some interesting suggestions, the ones that I probably wouldn't have considered before speaking to the fans.
Don't want Steve Evans.
No.
Dave Robson would be brilliant if it works out for him. If not, probably Keith Hill from Rochdale or Alexander from Fleetwood would be good managers.
Grant McCann till the end of the season. Bit of confidence in the team.
The current Brentford manager, Warburton, is it? Yeah, he's done a really good job for them. They've thrown him out the door with not a thanks, so we'll have him.
One name that has been linked quite heavily with the job is Steve Evans. What would you think about him?
Not a chance. Not a chance in hell, no.
I think I prefer the one who's just left Villa.
Paul Lambert,
yeah. I think he would be ideal for the club. Bearing in mind he went to Colchester and then he went to Norwich, didn't he? So he's had experience in the lower leagues, and I think he would be ideal for this club.
We just had our first shout for Harry Redknapp over there, haven't we?
Yeah, Harry Redknapp's free, I think, isn't he? So,
are you okay to arrange for the helicopter to come down from Sandbanks?
Nice, yeah.
Somehow I can't see Harry Redknapp rushing to take over the Peterborough United job, if I'm honest. Next, we're going to
probably get on well with Darren McAntony, though.
That's true.
I can see them being a good fit.
That's true. Next, we're going to switch our attention to the visitors, who at the start of play today lie sixth in the League One table. They're inside those all-important playoff spots, plus they're yet again on the brink of a trip to Wembley for a potential FA Cup semi-final, a third-tier team in an FA Cup semi-final. The Bantams are back at it. More on Bradford next.
We are going up on the road. We've got the Football League covered.
So we're around about 10 minutes away from kickoff here at London Road, and we thought we'd switch our attention to the visitors. It's been another amazing year to be following Bradford City with that incredible win at Stamford Bridge in the FA Cup. They've also knocked out Millwall, and of course they knocked out Sunderland in the last round. They beat Leeds in the League Cup earlier in the season. They finished 11th in League One last year. They're in 6th at the minute, so they're steadily progressing, and it's all about next Saturday, the early kickoff, lunchtime kickoff, Bradford against Reading. We're going to have a Football League side in an FA Cup semi-final. And DC, do you think it will be Bradford? They've got the momentum.
It'd be hard to back against them, just given how good they've been in the cups for the last, you know, this season and the last few years. They're going to be confident, I'm sure. The crucial thing is for them, I think, is that they're at home. I think it would be a very difficult game for Reading. But let's not forget that Reading are a team at a league above Bradford. They are a team who have got, you know, better players, I'd say, you know, for the man for man in the squad than Bradford. You know, they've got someone like Yakubu, who's just come back to English football and, you know, he's scored goals already. And they've got a new manager, Steve Clark, who not long taken over at Reading, who's just, you know, lifted it a little bit. But I think importantly, maybe to consider in terms of Reading, is that they're not going to get in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to go down. So they can really put everything they've got into this match against Bradford, whereas Bradford do have a league campaign on their minds where they're looking to get into the playoffs. They've probably got more stretched squad wise I think than Reading in terms of the number of games they'll have to play, so that comes into it. But I would back Bradford. I just think that they will have the confidence and their momentum, and I think that home crowd will be packed at Valley Parade. They'll be roaring the team on, and I think it'll be a really tough game for Reading. I think it'll be close, but I would back Bradford. Yes,
I'm quite looking forward to watching Bradford. We obviously were seeing them on TV in the big games, but I'm looking forward to seeing how they go on in the league here today. And we thought we'd get a view on this current Bradford City side and their chances of achieving another memorable conclusion to a season just a couple of years on from the promotion and League Cup final. And to do that, we caught up with a man who watches them week in, week out.
Hi, I'm Simon Parker, the Bradford Telegraph and Argus Bradford City reporter.
And Simon, it's been another incredible season to be covering Bradford, I guess.
Yeah, these cup runs come along every now and again, don't they? Yeah, it's a bit surreal at the moment, you know. It's just as it was 2 years ago, it just seemed to be keep going and going and going, and it's, you know, I think most people sort of pinch themselves and think that was a once in a lifetime, and it's happening again.
And quite often when teams do so well in the cup, it can often distract them from the league, but it seems to have actually helped Bradford's league form because they're in the playoff places at the minute.
Well, it has, yeah. I mean, the last couple of games they've stuttered a little bit because they've had a few knocks. I think the one problem they've got obviously is the rearranged games being shoved in now. They've got 8 games in March, and it's quite hectic, and obviously you're getting these knocks and inevitably losing people, but in terms of momentum, yeah, they've been playing very well, and, you know, sort of the winning breeds confidence, and the games they've been playing, I mean, there was, you know, Chelsea was just speaks for itself, but, you know, they were excellent against Sunderland as well and well deserved that, and they sort of carried that form into the league. I mean, I think they went to Leighton Orient 3 days later, which was seen as a bit of a banana skin given it was a bit of a come down after the Sunday, and they were tremendous that night. So yeah, you know, I think they've sort of got that winning habit at the moment.
Is there any danger that there might be having beaten Chelsea, they've beaten Arsenal, beaten Aston Villa, is there any danger of taking Reading a little bit too lightly and thinking, oh well lads, we've beaten the big boys, it's only Reading, and then coming unstuck?
I think that is the danger. I mean, before the draw was made, everyone wanted a home draw, and then everyone wanted a championship team. So to get, you know, it was the perfect combination in terms of the tie they wanted. They wanted to avoid a big boy, you know, because you're now within touching distance of Wembley semi-final. You want, arguably the best route to get there. But yeah, there is that. I mean, a few supporters inevitably sort of start thinking that. But I mean, you know, it's been one of those things where the official club line has been, you know, we're keeping our feet on the ground. And to be fair, Phil Parkinson is very good at that, at keeping people sort of on the level. And bearing in mind also his massive connection with Reading, you know, it is his special club. You know, he knows the importance of getting that result, and there's no way he's going to let anyone think, you know, go out there with a sort of head in the stars, already thinking about the next round when they haven't done this one.
And what about this game today? We've not seen Bradford live this season, so who are the sort of standout players? Obviously, when Naki Wells left, everyone looked at that and thought it's been very difficult to replace someone who scored that amount of goals, but they seem to have done it quite well, and they've been very good on the road this season.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they won 7 away games, which is, you know, it's phenomenal. Midweek was only their 4th away defeat, so they're away points. I mean, at the moment, it's interesting because obviously they've missed James Hansen for the last couple of games, and he's been in fantastic form. I mean, I'm trying to sort of see if he's here today, then, you know, if he's available, it'd be a massive lift. I mean, John Stead has come in on loan from Huddersfield and been excellent. You know, he's been there and done it. He admits he's probably had too many clubs, and he's sort of trying to, you know, find one of his own and sort of nail it down a bit more. And he's been so consistent, and he's sort of brought out the best in Hansen and those around him. I mean, his hold-up play has been superb, and, you know, and a lot of it's been built on those two, because, you know, they're well, you saw what they did against Chelsea. They gave Chelsea all sorts of nightmares, and, you know, that's what they're capable of.
So that was Simon Parker, Bradford City reporter for the Bradford Telegraph and Argus. You can hear a bit of right here, right now, Fatboy Slim blaring out. The teams are due out on the field here any second. But a short time ago, we sort of wandered around to the away end here at London Road and spoke to some away fans, the Bradford fans, as ever, down here in their numbers today. And we asked them just what it's been like to be following the Bantams in Brian, another memorable season.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I mean, after Capital One Cup final and semi-finals, we're just doing it all again, really. We're FA Cup, and we just can't believe it. You know, we're
it's
in shock.
It's almost a bit run-of-the-mill, though, isn't it, for you these days? You're used to it.
Yeah, well, we're so used to Wembley now. It's like a second home.
At the current time, it's probably the best it's been since the Premier League days. So the league is taking a bit of a dip at the moment, but with Reading at home on Saturday, could be back at Wembley again.
Obviously, two seasons ago was an absolute dream. After 10 years of hell watching Bradford City, but this year's been fabulous. I mean, beating Leeds was, we thought, going to be one of the high water marks of the season, but obviously then the Chelsea game and Sunderland, and in fact Millwall before that, we murdered Millwall at Bradford, so that was also a big game, and they're doing better than we ever expected in the league, so to be in the top six is great at the moment.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, really. The cup run is amazing. It's everyone's a repeat almost of better, really. The FA Cup's more prestigious than the League Cup, and you've beaten the league leaders. It's an amazing cup run again, but
we wallet the league leaders, by the way.
You did, yeah. But what I mean is you could be in the Championship next season, almost unexpectedly. You're doing really well in the league, you're into the playoffs, and Bradford are a club, obviously they've been in the Premier League, and the ambition has got to be to get back as high as you can and get back into the Championship first of all.
Yeah, I think it's a measured approach for Bradford, because it's probably fairly well documented, although I'm not sure every football fan up and down the country will understand it, but after Bradford fell out of the Premier League, they suffered seriously from the financial collapse of ITV Digital. There wasn't the parachute payment money that cushions clubs who drop down from the Premier League nowadays. And they almost went out of business. And I think a lot of long support, fans who supported the club for a long time recognised that you have to build back from the brink, as it were, slowly and carefully and steadily. So I think it may be a step too far for Bradford City this season to go up into the Championship. I think everybody would love it if we did, but Parkinson is building a squad, he's building, he's helping to rebuild the club. And I think, if we finished in the playoffs but didn't go up this season, not many people would be terribly disappointed about that.
Is there a big difference between the squad of a couple of years ago and the current squad you've got? Is it, have you made big improvements to sort of be where you are now, sixth in League One with a chance of getting into the Championship?
I think this season's squad is better, to be honest. It's more depth, but it's the manager, really. I think people want to play for Phil Parkinson.
It's the kind of trademark of a Phil Parkinson team, almost, really. He builds team spirit, he tries to get the right sort of players into the club, players who will not only bust a gut for the shirt, but will be team players. And I think that's the team ethic that you see is what has been the bedrock of the success of the team over the last two or three seasons since Phil Parkinson and Steve Parkinson came in.
I've actually got a question for all of you. If you could only go to Wembley once this season, either in a playoff final or an FA Cup semi-final, which would you choose?
Oh gosh, that's really hard. That's really hard.
I'd pick playoff, because we get to go Championship, and I think
FA Cup every time.
Yeah, the league is the more important, and everything we've done in the cup's been a bonus.
I would go for the FA Cup. We could beat anyone on our day, and maybe another year in this league and just build on that.
The league, definitely the league. Yeah, it's all right getting the financial benefits of the cup, but the league's the bread and butter, isn't it?
No, I think for me anyway, an FA Cup semi-final, it would be historic again. I don't know how many League One teams have actually got to an FA Cup semi-final, and obviously then we're one game away from a final.
So those were the Bradford City fans talking to us outside the ground. The players are out on the field, we're ready to go. DC, quickly before we get going, who the hell is that in the centre circle?
Oh, that is, I think that's like Mick George, is it? One of the sponsors, like the local kind of buildings.
It's like Bob the Builder.
Yeah.
Bob the Builder and a giant rabbit with a carrot out on the field at the minute. Peterborough players coming into the half just in front of us. The Bradford players moving away to the left. All the action from Sky Bet League One, Peterborough United against Bradford City. The We Are Going Up commentary is on the way next. Stay there.
It's time to do something great together. Join Men United and help beat prostate cancer. Search Men United now.
We are going up live.
Interesting thing on that side.
on the Glebe stand is that there are no advertising hoardings at the front of this stand. So like the first row of seats, like you're pretty much you're on the touchline.
That is weird, yeah. Can I also say, by the way, that a lot of home grounds, there isn't much of an atmosphere from the home fans to begin with, but the Peterborough fans, straight behind their team.
Yeah, very loud. Someone's got a drum in there. I think maybe that's perhaps to do with the fact that they're on the terraces. You know, that when you're standing up, you are always a little bit more into it, rather than just sitting on your hands and politely clapping along, and are giving their team strong backing in the early stages.
Good run by Oliver Burke for Bradford. He's on the edge of the area, dispossessed. Good tackle by Michael Boswick. We should say, actually, this isn't our first game of the week we've gone to together, because on Tuesday night, I went to the Vic for the first time, Vicarage Road.
Indeed. Did you enjoy it?
Two new grounds this week. Yeah, I went with you to watch Watford against Rotherham in the Championship. Comfortable victory for Watford. But the news is, I was in the rookery end.
You were in the rookery end. And it was a good win for us in the end. We didn't actually play that well, really, but Rotherham gifted us three goals.
They really did as well. Some shocking defending from Rotherham.
Yeah, and we gladly took them. And we came into a bit more. Once we were a few goals up, we started playing our football and trying to take them apart. And we had a few chances to make it more than three in the end.
But... Can I just say my favourite bit was the chant that you've got for your new hero?
Igalo! Oh!
I actually recorded a little bit of audio.
Believe in your soul.
I'm going to try and play in a little bit of audio. If this works, you're now going to hear the audio of the Watford fans celebrating Igalo's goal from the other night. Chance for Bradford to break. Johnstead. Oh, it's not the greatest ball.
It wasn't the greatest ball, I'll give you that, but also, Jesus Christ, Johnstead. It was like he was running backwards.
This is a man who's torn Sunderland and Chelsea apart this season, for your information.
And I don't think I'm doing Johnstead any sort of disservice here by saying that pace isn't the number one aspect of his game.
I think you're right. 0-0. Still goalless here at London Road. Peterborough 0, Bradford 0. One man who's stood out already for me, though, is the Bradford number 10, Billy Clark, who scored 5 goals in his last 9 games. Chance here, actually. Oh, just flashed wide on his left foot by Oliver Burke for Bradford. But Billy Clark, yeah, 5 goals in his last 9 games. And a man you've been frantically Wikipedia-ing there, because he's a bit of a journeyman.
Yeah, I was just checking if it was the same Billy Clark that I thought it was, and it is. The one and only, it seems. I remember seeing him play for Ipswich against Watford. He made back in sort of 2005, 2006 sort of time. And I remember him having a really good game against us, and I was really impressed by him then as a promising young striker for Ipswich. But his career, you know, it's meandered. I think it's fair to say he's been at Crawley for a bit, been at Blackpool, Brentford, Northampton, you know, loan spells here, there and everywhere. Finds himself at Bradford now. And I saw, you know, that player that I saw 10 years ago, there is ability there, and he is a decent enough player for sort of League 1, League 2 level, and he's in good form at the moment.
We're halfway through the first half. It's goalless, but it does give us an opportunity, because nothing is happening, to mention the fact that we've been talking about this chant that a lot of football fans seem to be chanting at the minute. But we were meant to mention it on the show, and then the whole Chelsea racism incident on the metro in Paris happened, so we can't. It's kind of lost some of its gloss. But we were in a pub last weekend when we heard like an old 60s version of it blaring out. Now, what is the chant in question?
It's the "We like it, we're Watford, and that's the way we like it, we like it, we like it. Whoa, 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 whoa," etc., etc.
Yeah. But we heard like an old soul song.
It was like an old sort of 50s, 60s kind of girl group, like Phil Spector-esque kind of girl group, sort of with the Ronettes or something. You know, which is certainly not where I expected this chant and this tune to have originated from. But I should have got my Shazam out.
You should have done. Didn't really have time to think. But yeah, I'm waiting for the first sort of display of that this afternoon. And once we get, there's plenty at the Vic on Tuesday. Once we get it, I'll make sure I record it. I'm sorry, that is absolutely dreadful. Free kick from the halfway line, chipped towards Johnstead, and it's just drifted aimlessly wide.
Not to take anything away from Bradford, because it's been really successful for them in the last few years, but it's quite clear and quite easy to work out what their sort of tactic is, isn't it? It's midfield or defender, whoever it is, whoever has the ball, and it's the first thought is pretty much always, right, where's John Stead? Can I lump it to him? If not, lump it in the channel.
Now, in other news, sorry, I've got to mention this. It seems to be the Peterborough United pretty much cheerleaders in front of us. I'm not sure if they're actual cheerleaders, but they look like they are. And there's this one guy who I think he's a very happy man with his view right now. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah.
He turned around.
He did, and just gave me a sort of raised eyebrows, kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, oi, oi. You know, nothing wrong with that. It's good to see a group of young women supporting Peterborough United.
Absolutely. Santos into touch.
Not like that.
Oh no.
He's only bloody leads 2 Watford nil after half an hour. Jesus. That's no good.
And the Peterborough fans behind the goal find their voice a bit. I'm not really quite sure why, because it's been pretty poor so far. 0-0. And we haven't had a goalless We Are Going Up live special yet. Please, lads, not today. Not today. What do you make of this pitch? It seems to be cutting up a bit, doesn't it, already?
Yeah, it's not great, particularly in like the goal mouth area and sort of in the middle of the pitch. Yeah, lots of divots. And the ball, we've seen a couple of passes like that example there when Bradford have managed to get it on the floor the rare occasion. It has sort of bobbled a little bit. So you can perhaps see why some of the teams are going long, even if it's not for tactical reasons. But yeah, it's not brilliant, just like the game.
Did you see the Charlton thing this week by the pitch?
God, I mean, ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, obviously, I saw people, like the BBC put that on the, you know, before it was admitted that it was a PR stunt from Charlton, you know, from Charlton themselves. You know, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, it's got to be some sort of thing with Paddy Power.
Well, that's a good ball.
Or something.
Oh, Bradford clear it.
It was so obviously fake. It was absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe some people believed that there was actually a real thing.
Shaking his head in disgust.
Seen the dress?
Is it that dull here? Yeah. The game's that bad? We're going to talk about the dress?
What do you reckon? Normally, it's the sort of thing I would treat with disdain, much like that Charlton PR stunt, but I have to confess, I got totally taken in by it yesterday. I spent a good portion of my day with people at work.
It was blue and thingy, mate.
Well, when I first saw it, I thought blue, but then when I looked at it again, I was convinced. I mean...
Where have you been?
I've been to get not a sausage roll, not a pie, but a pasty.
You're so enthralled by this game, you actually left before half time to go and get it. Beat the rush. Oh, the ball's loose in the area there. Oh no, it's cleared.
Anything happened since I've been gone?
Absolutely nothing. I don't think we had any extra time there, did we? The half time whistle has just been blown. And people are, let's be honest, rushing to go and get their food because absolutely nothing of note has happened in that first 45 minutes. You know, when we were wandering from the train station over towards the ground, we were saying, what if we have a 5-4 or a 4-all or a 3-all? How amazing would it be? It's 0-0. It's very 0-0 as well. You finish your pie, sorry, pasty.
I have. By far the best thing of that half was my pasty. And if you'd seen the pasty, you'd realise just quite how big a statement that is. That was a terrible, terrible half of football from, you know, Peterborough. Look bereft of confidence, really. It's all they can do, really, to just clear the ball. The defenders seem just happy to lump it, and it, you know, in so much that it's job done. The ball's, I've not got the ball anymore. There doesn't seem to be a lot of courage from many of the Peterborough players to get on the ball and try and play football. They're there at home. They should be trying to take the game to Bradford, and you know, Bradford, you know, marginally looked the better team. They've got probably had that better. Sort of territorial advantage, if you like. I hesitate to use the word possession, but they've pressed, you know, the issue a little bit more than Peterborough have. But you know, you must wonder whether that game next week's on the players' minds, and whether they don't want to exert themselves too much ahead of what, you know, is another huge match for them in the FA Cup. And at the moment, it's all equaling out to be a real turgid affair here.
It's goalless, very goalless. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Well, in fact, we won't be back in about 2 seconds. But we're going off for 15 minutes.
Someone's just brought a skip onto the pitch. I don't know.
That's the highlight of the afternoon.
Deliberate joke.
Well, let's be honest. Peterborough United 0, Bradford City 0 at the break.
You're listening to We Are Going Up.
And we're underway. We're back, second half, Peterborough 0, Bradford City 0. So a few interesting developments at half-time. First thing, you were correct to go for your pie early because it's a ridiculous queue, so my food voucher is going wasted. Secondly, the girls in front of us were the Peterborough United cheerleading squad and performed a montage of current hits in the centre circle. And thirdly, what was going on with the mascots and the half-time competition?
Well, we've already mentioned Peterborough, the rabbit. The sponsor's mascot, who is what, Mick George Building Supplies, who looks like Bob the Builder, and they were joined ludicrously at half time on the pitch by the ABAX mascot, which was just a big letter A with like legs and obviously a man's legs and arms sticking out of it, just running around the pitch and shaking the fans of the hands of the fans.
And they had a very technical half time game.
Yeah,
lump it into a skip.
Which, I mean, the players would be bloody good at it. That's for sure. Yeah, two people had to stand on the halfway line, try and get the ball into it.
Oh my days! We nearly had some drama. Jordan Pickford, the Bradford goalkeeper, has smacked the ball against Carl Vassell and he's just rebounded wide. That's the most exciting moment of the game so far.
It is.
And sorry, and the final bit of half-time news is something you found in the programme.
Yeah, I've just been leafing through the Peterborough United programme and I've happened upon a feature that they have called Are You Smarter Than a 10-Year-Old? This week's contestant, Aaron McLean, the Bradford City striker, it should be said, on loan at his old club, Peterborough. So there's like actually one of the Peterborough, he's also on the coaching staff now, so one of the Bradford players is...
He's coaching Peterborough.
Yeah, ridiculous, isn't it? But he got 6 out of 10 on these questions, so I'm just going to ask you some questions now. Yep, nothing's going on. Right, so 6 out of 10, the first one, they're multiple choice, so don't worry. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain is an example of A, assonance, B, personification, C, metaphor, or D, alliteration.
God. Can I have the options again, please?
Assonance, personification, metaphor, or alliteration?
Oh, hang on. Buy me a bit of time here. There might be a goal. I'm going to go for personification.
That's wrong. Aaron McLean went for alliteration, which definitely not. The answer is assonance.
Damn.
Who composed the 7 movement orchestral piece, The Planets? A. Noel Luke, B. Beethoven, C. Holst, or D. Mozart?
Oh, God. I'm going to go for C.
You've gone for C.
Oh, long-range effort from Bostwick, just gone wide.
Holst, and you'd be correct.
Yes. Come on.
And finally, you should get this one. Which city was the second city to be targeted by an atomic bomb at the end of World War II? A. Tokyo, B. Nagasaki, C. Hiroshima, or D. Fukushima?
The second city?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, why should I get this? Because I've been there.
Yeah, you were only there a few months ago.
I know, but like, I think Hiroshima was the first, so I'm going to go Fukushima.
Incorrect. It was Nagasaki.
am I smarter than a 10-year-old?
No, you're not smarter than a 10-year-old, nor Aaron McLean.
Oh, no. Ball on the edge of the area. They want a free kick. They're going to get a free kick for a foul on Luke James. No, this is an opportunity. Get a good ball in from a dead ball. Big men are up from the back. Santos and Zakawani both going forward. Flows into the back post. This is a chance. Oh, it's in the net! They've scored! It's in the back of the net. Peterborough United take the lead. John Taylor's ball in, and it's Ricardo Santos doing a little samba dance in the far corner. It was an almighty scramble. I've got to say that Jordan Pickford didn't cover himself in glory, the Bradford goalkeeper. He came out for it, tried to punch it, and I don't think he made any connection. The ball has just hit Santos and trickled over the line. And listen to them behind the goal. There's noise at London Road. That's the goal that they needed to lift them. DC, your thoughts?
Well, just what you said, get a good ball in, big lads up from the back, and then it's gone in. I mean, and that's what you've been needing. This is the first real bit of quality. I mean, like you said, it probably was a bit of an error from the keeper as well, but the ball was there to put him under pressure and he couldn't deal with it, and they get the lead. They don't deserve it at all, but they've got a lead now, so they can try and hang on to it and try and build.
Fans are not happy. They want a foul given against Davis there. He's back on his feet. James is half down. Oh, no, they're going to want a penalty for that. Not been given. ball has struck Sheehan, I think it is, on the arm. In fact, yeah, it is Alan Sheehan. It's just struck him on the right arm, and the home fans want a penalty. It was directly in line with the assistant referee, but he's not given it.
No, linesman's flag did not go up to his chest. The penalty was not given. The referee couldn't have seen it from there. The referee was in the centre of the pitch. Sheehan had his back to him, but I mean, it was fired in. Sheehan's arms weren't up, they were down by his side, and it's hit him high on the arm. I think that would have been very harsh, to be honest with you, if that had been a penalty.
Well, at least the game's come to life a bit, hasn't it? Oh, celebrations to the left of me. Something's happened at Ellen Road, I feel.
2-2. Vidra, on the hour mark. Get in, come on.
Season back on. You tell me the season was over a few minutes ago. Can I say, by the way, this Bradford team won at Stamford Bridge.
I know, it's ridiculous. Tell you why, because Mark Yates scored the fourth goal that day, didn't he?
He did.
Watford legend. Not exactly, I mean, not quite a Watford legend, far from it, but a player that had a couple of nice moments in his Watford career, and a player that I've got a lot of time for.
Oh, that's a great ball, it's going to be, oh! That was fizzed across by John Taylor from the right wing. Luke James went in. Was he being held back there by McArdle? Referee said no, Bradford on the counter.
Ben Anik has just rolled the ball out to Kosi and Clay, the Peterborough left back, and it's the first time I think I've seen either goalkeeper distribute it to the feet of a defender in the entire match. And both of them have just been whacking it, you know, sometimes to each other or just straight out of play. But Peterborough, you know, they've got the goal and they are looking a little bit more confident, aren't they? When they get the ball, they are trying here and there just to find that extra pass.
They've definitely had more territory in the second half than in the first half. I think narrowly probably deserved to be in the lead. Oh, good ball. Clark into the area, close to the byline, onto his left foot, calls it back. It's Halliday on the volley. Oh, what a chance. What a chance.
Just gone for it with his left foot there, sort of tried to volley it on the outside of his left foot, and he's ended up scooping it over the bar, whereas maybe if he'd gone with it for his right, that would have been the better option. But really good approach play from Bradford there. I turned into a local there.
Good approach play from Bradford.
Clark again with a good ball in. And
you've got to remember, Halliday arrived in a similar position at Stamford Bridge to score with his right foot. That was on his left, though, and he snatched at it a bit.
Yeah.
Beautyman goes back wide. Harry Anderson's cross is deflected. Bradford going to clear. Oh, that looks like a penalty! It is a penalty. It's handball by Billy Knott. He's not really complaining. Stephen Darby is giving Mr. Horwood a bit of an earful. A couple of Bradford players. I can see McArdle over there having a word. Penalty or not?
Similar to that one from before, really, wasn't it? It was fired in there from quite close to distance. Maybe the arm was up this time, though. I'm not sure. I always think in those circumstances, I don't like to see penalties given for that sort of incident.
Did you notice that? There's a change of penalty taker. John Taylor was going to take that penalty, and it's now Michael Boswick, who, judging on by his performance so far, isn't going to slot this coolly in. He is going to absolutely smash this. Pickford is about a yard behind his goal line, bouncing up and down in the centre of the goal. This to probably win it for Peterborough. Boswick scores! Down the middle, and then he smashes it into the stand. Peterborough 2, Bradford City 0. You think that's game, set and match, and a win for Posh in their first game since the sacking of Darren Ferguson. DC takes a couple of snaps. 2-0 to Peterborough. Good penalty.
Yeah, excellent. Made no mistakes. Smashed it low and hard. Keeper went the wrong way, in it went. And listen to London Road. Bounce now.
They're singing it. They're singing our chant.
Taking them long enough, but they finally got round to it.
Not very loud, though. Come on. Here we go.
That's the way we like it.
We like it. Oh, no. And that's the way we like it. No.
Now.
Like it. We like it. We like it. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Zakwani's a bad shout for man of the match, actually. He's dealt with the aerial bombardment that Bradford have delivered pretty well. He's got his head to a lot of the long balls, contested well with Stead, and he did score the opening goal of the game. Now, I believe, Mark, when that ball went in amongst a cluster of Peterborough players at the back post, you thought it was Santos because of his Brazilian samba-style celebration.
I did. Well, they're both big units, let's be honest, and it looked to me like Santos had got the final touch. Obviously, I'm wrong, so that's not going on my highlights reel. But thankfully for us, there was a second goal, so we can all forget about it. And it's 2-0. I definitely got the second one right, yeah?
Just about.
That's it. Final whistle has just blown. And Peterborough have beaten Bradford by 2-0. You just said to me off air there that they needed to win, no matter how they did, and they have won.
Absolutely. It wasn't pretty. It was a very, very poor game, really. But Peterborough got 2 goals in the second half. It's given them the points. One from a set piece, one from a penalty. And they didn't really have any clear-cut goal-scoring chances, did they, in normal play. But they took the 2 chances they did got from the set pieces, and they've got a really important 3 points because, there's a lot of fans that will go home pleased now at London Road, not with the style of football on show, not with the performance, but with the result. And that's what they need. And then they can start to build now and try and get a bit of momentum.
Disappointing from Bradford, though.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, they didn't really have, like I said a few times, I think they were better really than they showed. They have got some good players for this level. Maybe the next week's on their mind, I'm not sure, but they seem very, and a few of those players sunk to their knees at the end there and sitting in the centre circle with their head in their hands, like it was, like they'd lost the quarter final. They looked very disappointed, and rightly so. The league is the most important thing really at the end of the day, and they've got to take it seriously. Yeah,
see you, mate. Our fan just in front of us is bidding us farewell. And here come the Peterborough fans chanting behind the goal. And the players take the applause as they walk off. Bradford are going to have to be a lot better next Saturday, aren't they?
Absolutely. They're going to need to show more variation. They're going to need to do more than just hit it long to Big John Stead. They're going to need to, defend a bit better, need to attack better. They're going to need to be better against a Reading side who have a lot more quality than Peterborough do.
Final score here at London Road, then the ABAC Stadium. Peterborough United 2, Bradford City 0.
We are going up on the road.
So it's all smiles then. We're just wandering past some Peterborough fans outside the ground, all leaving very happy after that 2-0 win against Bradford. You're happy because Watford came from 2-0 down to win?
Yep, delighted.
And I'm happy because we won 2-0 at Plymouth.
We're only 1 point off automatic promotion now, mate.
More on that in a second. First, though, let's get some reaction to the League One game we've seen this afternoon. Peterborough with that important 3 points, 2-0 victory against Bradford. We've now got a game against Crawley on Tuesday before the big game against Reading, which is coming up in the FA Cup next weekend. First, though, you're going to hear from the Peterborough United caretaker manager, Dave Robertson, who is understandably delighted with his side's performance this afternoon.
It's one game at a time. It's a good start here against Bradford, a strong Bradford side. I'd like to wish them and all of their staff the best of luck in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup next week. But we now need to focus on ourselves and get ready for Sheffield United. Me and the staff will be doing that in our team meeting tomorrow. And the players will be back in on Monday after their recovery session tomorrow, ready to get on the training ground and work hard again. And if they do that, then we can't ask any more of them.
I saw the chairman tweeted, just happy faces. That's all he tweeted, which shows how he's feeling about today. Have you spoken to him yet?
Well, he might have seen my smile, I think, after the game. But, I have spoken to the chairman. Listen, obviously, it's a great result, and we're taking things one step at a time, and we'll just be moving forward.
Your hat's in the ring, though, isn't it? And this will only enhance your claims, this result.
Well, I think I threw my hat massively in the ring early on in the week. I said that I want the job. I feel that I've brought a real passion, pride, commitment to the football club, and that really has rubbed off on the players, and the players have rubbed off on the fans today. And to get London Road bouncing like this, listen, for me in itself, as a person who absolutely loves this football club and is passionate about this football club, couldn't be any better. And that in itself is an achievement, but we have to continue to do that. It can't just be for one game.
Regardless of what happens with the manager's job, what do you think a realistic target has got to be for Peterborough from now to the end of the season?
I think realistically, we need to keep continuing to progress and develop the style of play. As the style of play, listen, that's right for the supporters and right for the football club. We need to make sure that we continue picking up momentum with results and performances. And if we do that, we'll start to grow. Listen, it's one game at a time, but for me, there's no limits on what can be achieved.
And was the way you played today more the style you think, you know, you want to see Peterborough playing?
Yes, definitely. And with more players back available for selection, I feel that we can only get better. So, it is a start. It is a style of play that I want. I would like to be a little bit more attacking at times. We spoke to the players at half time and asked them to be confident enough to play as well. And listen, they'll learn and they'll pick that up because they're a good group of players.
That was Dave Robertson, Peterborough's caretaker manager, talking to us after that 2-0 win against Bradford. Now here's the Bantams boss, Phil Parkinson, who felt that his side didn't get the rub of the green today.
I mean, I thought we were right in the game. First half, thought our approach was good in difficult conditions. The refs gave a very dubious free kick, which we should have defended better, but it was a scrappy goal, which kind of summed up a scrappy game up to that point. And then we were right back in it, looking to get the equaliser, and the refs give one of the softest penalty decisions I've seen in a long time. You know, but we've got to pick ourselves up. We've had two defeats, which we've had a terrific record away from home, and we've got to pick ourselves up. We've got a home game on Tuesday, and come out all guns blazing.
How do you explain, I mean, you've had a couple of massive wins recently, yeah, and then you've obviously struggled this week. How do you sort of explain beating Chelsea and Sunderland and then struggling against Swindon and Peterborough?
I mean, obviously, we're missing key players at the moment, and I think, you know, any team like us to miss key players, it does hinder you slightly. You know, Swindon, we weren't our best, but then performed tremendously well in the second period, deserved to get a draw. And today, in a very scrappy game, you know, both teams, the goal which gave them a physical and mental lift, really, you know, in the game, which was, there was very little in it. Obviously, after that, you know, we had to go and chase the game and opened up. And we're always slightly vulnerable to the counter-attack, but, you know, there was nothing in the game today.
Why do you think you struggled to create clear-cut chances today?
I just think we just lacked that bit of quality today. We had it on the pitch, but we just kind of took the extra touch in the second half and we should have got a shot away quickly. Now, football is about, obviously, the effort and the endeavour, which was there. But on top of that, you know, that we've got quality players who didn't quite produce when it really mattered to them.
And obviously, you've got three games in a week, and the most important one is, the, you know, arguably the final game. Are you envisaging changes on Tuesday, or do you think...
Yeah, I mean, we've got Hanson back. Should be back by Tuesday, and he's a big player for us, you know. I mean, listen, perhaps if we didn't have the week ahead, we might have played him today, but, you know, we've decided to be cautious with him. And he's had a good rest now. Three games he's missed and he'll be ready.
So a big week coming up for Bradford then, with that game against Crawley in the league before the clash live on the telly on BT next Saturday lunchtime against Reading in the FA Cup quarter final. DC, you're itching to talk to me about Watford getting closer to the top three. We've got the big derby game coming up on Sunday, which you'll probably know the result of by the time you hear this. Ipswich and Norwich going head to head. Is that, I think it's Carrow Road, that actually, isn't it, tomorrow? So Norwich against Ipswich. Results, though, very interesting at the top of the table today.
Absolutely. A great day for Watford. 2-0 down in the first half. Come back to win 3-2 at Elland Road. Vidra coming, I don't know whether he started or not, he's not been starting lately, but he scored two goals in the second half to give us a 3-2 win. Derby lost 2-0 at Fulham. Sheffield Wednesday beat Middlesbrough 2-0. Bournemouth could only draw 0-0 with Blackburn. Brentford lost as well today. And of course, Ipswich play Norwich tomorrow. So I suppose I'll be hoping for a draw in that one. All of that means that Watford go now 1 point behind Middlesbrough in second, and only, I think, 2 points off the top. So we are right back in the automatic promotion race as it stands, and it's a really important win. We certainly were a few weeks ago, and I imagine we probably still are, the team with the best record in the division at coming back from losing positions, and we've done that again today.
Forest flying, though. They won again at Reading today, making it six games unbeaten, including five wins since Dougie Freeman's gone in there. I reckon there'll probably be about 8 to 10 points, I reckon, off the playoffs now.
Yeah,
do you reckon there's any chance that they could squeeze in the top six still? Surely they can't.
I think it'll be a bit beyond them. Not, I mean, they're playing well and they've got some momentum now, but I just think the top eight, you know, are a little bit too far away, perhaps. I mean, maybe there'd be one spot left at the end for someone to squeeze into, but, you know, Wolves won again today. Norwich have been playing so well lately. I know Brentford lost today, but I still I think they could be right there for that sixth spot. So I think it'd be really hard for Friedman to do it. It might be another last day sort of heartbreak as he experienced a few years ago with Bolton.
Indeed. In League One today, Bristol City back to winning ways against Rochdale. MK Dons beaten by Coventry, I think. That's what we were overhearing in the press room at the end. Coventry were down in the relegation zone and they sacked Stephen Presley this week, which was, well, you couldn't have seen that coming a while back because we walked past the local Yates's. You couldn't have seen that coming a while back, could you?
No, but I mean, yeah, the results haven't been good enough, really, I suppose, this season, and the division has.
And if they have won today, that justifies the change.
Yeah, Dave Hockaday is one of the two guys, I think, taking care of the proceedings in the interim, which is a return.
Indeed.
For him, an unexpected return perhaps, but yeah, they've got a win today. Yeah, it's a good result for him.
And another managerial change in League One, Danny Wilson leaving Barnsley and being replaced by Lee Johnson, and that's Oldham's Lee Johnson. Oldham much higher in the table than Barnsley. Interesting change that. And Paul Scholes now linked with a vacancy at Boundary Park.
Very interesting. I mean, if Paul Scholes become Oldham manager, that'd be amazing. I don't know whether he will, because I mean, one of the reasons that that Johnson left Barnsley, I'm led to believe, is because his wages have been doubled instantly overnight. I think there's a bigger infrastructure at Barnsley. He'll have more money to spend on players than he did at Oldham. And I think, although Oldham are doing better than Barnsley this season, I think long term the potential is there for Barnsley to be a more stable club higher up the leagues than Oldham.
Big win today for Leighton Orient as well. They are the big winners, I would say, down at the bottom in League 2. Well, I've got to be honest, I haven't checked the other scores at the top because I was sort of doing those interviews, but Burton certainly were losing at home to Newport. I think Northampton were winning. It was really tight up there, but we're up to, you show me the table, I think we're up to 6th, are we?
Yep.
With a good 2-0 win away at Plymouth today. And the big news for us this week, we hinted at earlier, is the move to the Manchester City Carrington training ground, which is amazing, really. Quite how we pulled that off.
It is really important, I think, for a club like Bury. It's massive deal for you to be moving into what was the training ground of the Premier League champions last season. It's state-of-the-art facilities. They obviously moved on to an even better training ground now, that new complex up outside the stadium. But I would look at it similar to how Watford moved into Arsenal's old training ground when they did the same thing and upgraded like Man City did about 10, 15 years ago now. And it makes it so much easier to attract players. And also, when you're getting loan players from Premier League clubs or Championship clubs, managers there will feel more comfortable in loaning players out to you because they know their players are going to be treated, you know, well in a good environment.
The pictures are just incredible. Go and have a look at those if you haven't seen them, as the wind blows blimey in our face on the walk back to the train station. Really tight at the top. You'll be cheering us on Tuesday. We've got Luton at home. That is a huge game. Magnificent win today. That's it. You got the accent sorted. A few bits and bobs just to finish. A reminder, if you go to the website wearegoingup.co.uk at the minute, listen to that wind, you can get a free month of the football pools. Right now, if you sign up, correctly identify 8 out of 10 results correct at the weekend, win yourself loads of cash. Also, if you click on the Paddy Power offer on the homepage, you can sign up there. If you bet a fiver, you get a free £20 bet. And thanks to Audible, you can download any audiobook you want. There's so many, hundreds of thousands to pick from. You've got a long journey or a flight coming up. audible.co.uk/goingup. is where you need to go. The Twitter is at Wagyu Podcast. You can find us there. The Facebook page is facebook.com/Wagyu Podcast. The Instagram with all the pictures of today, including the picture of us with what's he called? Peterborough. Is that the one? Peterborough. You can find that instagram.com/Wagyu Podcast, and the website is wearegoingup.co.uk. And DC tomorrow, there is are we going the wrong way here? As usual. Tomorrow on Monday, so you might have downloaded this, be listening to this Monday morning on your way to work. There's going to be a bumper podcast, fingers crossed, there's going to be another one. Another little mini Peterborough one with
Adrian Durham.
Talk Sport's very own big Peterborough fan, who has applied for the job, I believe.
He has, yeah. Those of you that read Adrian's column in the Daily Mail online every Tuesday will have seen last week that he has applied, or at least is saying that he's applied for the Peterborough United manager's job. And it wasn't just one of those. When I saw the headline, I thought, well, you know, here we go again. Someone sends in a jokey application gag. We've seen it all too many times. But he actually, I mean, there is some tongue-in-cheek to it, but he actually did quite seriously lay out how he would, you know, what he would do tactically, how he would speak to the players, how he would get over the problem of him not being a footballer and not having any track record as a player or coach or anything. So it was just quite an interesting way to come at it. He does know the chairman quite well and Barry Fry and all that, so who knows.
Well, we will talk to him about that. Hopefully you'll be able to download that on Monday afternoon. But from Peterborough, we're 50 yards away from the railway station. Just an overall final thought on the day and the game.
I've enjoyed the day.
But not the game.
I can't say I enjoyed the game, but I was pleased seeing Dave Robinson speak to you at the end. I was pleased with him. He seems like a good guy. Seems like he's worked hard and worked for a long time to get to this position. It seems like he really wants to try and make a go of it and try and get that job full time. And good luck to him. I don't think he'll get it, but good luck to him. And it was a start of moving forward today for Peterborough United.
Oh, I think we're about to get run over it. No, we're not. It's all fine. Good. We will live for another podcast.
Have you enjoyed it?
I have enjoyed it, especially our little friend, our new friend who gave us the donuts.
Excellent man. He gave me a donut, shook my hand at the end. Great man.
And raised an eyebrow at the cheerleaders. That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll speak to you next time on We Are Going Up. We're off to get our train. This is the...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.